keep yours company. Asamshayam mahavaho manodur nigraham shalam abhyasena tukantaya vairagena jigriyate. Sri Bhagavan uvacha. Personality of Godhead said.
Sangshayam.
Undoubtedly. Mahabaho. Almighty Armed One.
Manaha.
The mind.
Dur nigraham.
Difficult to curb.
Shalom.
Flickering.
Abhyasena.
By practice.
But.
Kaunteya. O son of Kunti.
Vairagena.
By detachment.
Cha.
Also.
Grihyate.
Can be so controlled. Oh, that's what it was. I'm sitting under. Can we turn down the AC and okay. Use the fan? Okay. How is it outside? Hot?
It's in mid-70s.
Mid-70s.
Very humid.
Humid. Yeah. If we open the window, we get the humidity, huh?
Okay.
I mean, the refrigerator is on.
No, it's fine. I think we can open the windows now.
Lord Sri Krishna said, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he suggests that by practice and detachment, it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the Supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical, because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called parishanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfied, feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind. And eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness. Om Gyanati Vinyanasya Gyananjana Sarakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Shapalantam Vandeham Shri Guram Shri Vitapatamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sadrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanjitam Stam Sadivam Sajaitam Savadhutam Pravijana Sehitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shri He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kansa Nodangi Radhe Vrinda Neshri Vrishara Nusite Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Durujyascha Kripa Sindho Yedacha Patita Nam Pavanegro Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasana Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Samshayam Mahabhaho Mano Durni Graham Shalam Abhyasena Dukanti Vairagena Chukriyate. In this chapter, Lord Krishna has described the Ashtanga Yoga system, the system of sitting in a certain way, following certain disciplines. Breathing exercises, so on. What is the purpose of all this?
Control the mind.
To control the mind. In the beginning, Krishna has said that the Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmayatmana jutaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmayat shatruvat. The mind can be the best friend of the living being, or the mind can be the worst enemy. When the mind is controlled, then the mind is the best friend. And when the mind is uncontrolled, then the mind is the worst enemy. So, the yoga system is meant to control the mind. And Lord Krishna therefore described the yoga system elaborately. But at the end, Krishna Arjuna said that, my dear Krishna, I can't follow this system. Chanchalahi mana Krishna pramati balavadridham tasyaham nigraham manye vairi visudushkru. The controlling the mind is very difficult business. Chanchalahi. The mind is fickle. Always going here and there, here and there. The Lord Kapildev explains that the mind has two functions, sankalpa and vikalpa, accepting something and rejecting something. And the mind tends to flip-flop. I want this. No, I'd like that. Here's this. No, no. Back and forth, back and forth. Chanchal, unsteady, flickering, fickle, fickle. Oh, Chanchal, he, Mana Krishna, and Pramati, crazy. The mind is crazy. What the mind will dream up, what the mind will think makes sense, or what the mind will insist on, is like a child, or like a crazy person. The mind just goes here and there, here and there. All sorts of mental concoction. And Balavad. And the mind is very strong also. Sometimes the mental patients, when they're very, very crazy, they throw fits, and they, when they do so, they're very strong, isn't it? You need like three men to hold down one of these people. They show extraordinary strength. So, or another meaning of Balavad means stubborn. Dridham means particularly stubborn. So strong and stubborn also. It doesn't make any sense. It's crazy. But we're not going to budge. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. But it's not good for you. But I want it. Dridham. Who can deal with such a crazy mind? Crazy, strong, determined, obstinate, and not. Now I wanted this, and then 2 minutes later, but I want that. This way, that way, this way, that way. Tasyaham nigraham manye. Vayuri vishudushkura. Krishna says that to control, Arjuna says that to control this mind is like trying to control a hurricane. You go up in front of the hurricane, stop! The mind is, what does the mind care for your stop? So Arjuna says, this yoga system seems impossible. Controlling the mind. And Krishna replies, Asamshayam Mahabahu. You're right. The mind is very difficult to control. It is crazy. It is powerful. It is obstinate. It is fickle. Assumption, no doubt about it. Mano durnigraham chalam. To control such a fickle mind is very difficult. Nigraham means to control. And durnigraham, very difficult to control. Asamshayam mahavaho mano durnigraham chalam abhyasena sukantaya vairagyena chakriyate. But it's possible. Abhyasena, by practice. And Srila Prabhupada, in his translation, says, suitable practice. Suitable practice. The yoga system is also a kind of practice. But no one can practice it. Now yoga is very popular. People are practicing yoga. They go to some gymnasium or some yoga studio and they practice postures and they do some breathing exercises. And they may feel healthier. They may look better. But that's not the yoga system as explained by Lord Krishna to Arjuna. That's something else. Sometimes some devotee asked Srila Prabhupada if for his health he could perform yoga. Prabhupada said, yes, yoga, or jumping jacks. For Srila Prabhupada, the yoga and the jumping jacks were on the same platform. But actually yoga is meant for controlling the mind, controlling the senses. Yoga, indriya, samyama. The mind is the center of the senses. So, actually, to practice that yoga, who can do? Sucho deshe patishthapya sthiram asanam atmanaha natyutshritam nati nicham chailajana kushotra. To go to a sacred place and secluded place and make a seat not too high, not too low, to practice the various austerities. Brahmachari, Vitesthitaha, to maintain strict brahmacharya. All of these things people are not prepared to do. They're not capable of doing. What to speak of people today, even Arjuna professed himself unable to follow this system. He was the personal friend of Krishna. He was coming from a very great family. He had shown great capability, discipline to attain the kind of proficiency in military art that he achieved to become such a great archer. Required great discipline. He would practice at night also. But he said, still, this system is too difficult. Abhyas, but not this abhyas. Abhyasena. So Krishna says, yes, it is possible. And Srila Prabhupada says, by suitable practice. This practice of going to the Himalayas and practicing all of these items of the Ashtanga Yoga system, not suitable for the present age. In previous ages, it was recommended. Kriteya dhyayato Vishnu. People would meditate and attain perfection. But that was in the Satya Yuga, when people were completely situated in the mode of goodness. But now in the Kali Yuga, how will it be possible? Therefore, in the Kali Yuga, kalo tad hari kirtan. The Hari Kirtan is recommended. Now, this will be the right practice. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama. Kalo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva. Kativan Yata. This practice, not other practices. They will not be effective. When Krishna says, by suitable practice and vairagyena,
by detachment. The lying is meant to be, then someone says, now that also is very difficult. The, all right, we're going to have an easier practice, but this detachment, vairagya, raga means attachment, of vairagya, this vairagya is very difficult. Give up this, give up that, even give up smoking, give up garlic, onions, so many give up. And who wants to give up? Rather, we want to take up. We want more. Detaching the mind is very difficult. Therefore, the method is to fix the mind on Krishna. Savai mana Krishna padala. The forcible detachment from the things that we're attached to will be very difficult. But therefore, the positive method is attachment. We see a child, he's attached to something and he can't pry his fingers off of whatever it is. The harder you pull, the more he holds on. But when he's offered something better, or when he takes interest in something else, then he gives up whatever it was. So Krishna says, Raso Vajram Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartite. One has to see something better. Param Drishva. That better thing is Krishna consciousness, the service of Krishna. Shravanadi Shudhichite Kavi. Beginning with hearing. The tendency is there to hear about this, to hear about that. If we become attracted to hearing about Krishna, then Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta, the mind becomes purified, consciousness becomes purified. Just by hearing about Krishna. Shravanadi, by hearing, by chanting, by reading about Krishna, by practical activity for the service of Krishna, one will get swept up. One will get swept up. And when the mind is swept up in the service of Krishna, then one automatically becomes detached from the lower engagements. Simply to tell the mind, stop, that will be very difficult. But if we give the mind better engagement, superior engagement, then it's possible. Therefore, the impersonalists have a very difficult time of it, because they have nothing to fix their minds on. They're trying to fix their the Buddhists try to reach a state of what is it? No thought.
Nirvana.
No, that's another thing, but no thought. They aspire to reach that state of no thought. And they think about reaching no thought. The thought keeps coming back. To empty the mind, that's another Buddhist phrase, the empty mind. But to empty the mind is very difficult. Prabhupada gave the example that in an inky atmosphere, if you take an empty glass, it will fill with ink. But if you fill the glass with milk, then ink can't enter. But the mind is filled with Krishna consciousness. The Buddhists are unhappy because the mind is filled with rubbish. That they know, we agree. On this point, we're on board with the Buddhists. They say the mind is full of rubbish, and we agree, the mind is full of rubbish. But their solution is to try to empty the mind. You see the pictures of the Buddhist meditators sitting there with some guy with a stick standing over them so that they don't fall over. Because there's to empty the mind is very difficult business. And in Buddhism there's all sorts of techniques of watching the mind and this, try to catch the mind. But the mind is chanchal, fickle, durnigraham, difficult to control, pramati, balava, tridham, all of these things. Vayariva sudushkram. So just stopping the mind will be practically impossible. But to think of Krishna is possible. Prabhupada said, to think of the sky, how long can you go on thinking of the sky, the empty sky? But you can think of a child on and on. The child is doing this, the child is doing that, the child is like this, the child is like that. Because personal characteristics are there. Therefore, Krishna also said that to klesho tikataraste sham avyakta sakta chetasa. Those who are trying to attach their minds to something impersonal have tough time. Because there's nothing there. The Buddhists are deliberately aspiring for void, literal nothingness. And the Shankarites are trying to reach something which is practically nothingness. No form, no qualities, no pastimes, no activities, no... It's something, but it has no nothing. Well, to fix the mind on that will be very difficult. Therefore, sometimes the impersonalists also take to reading Bhagavatam, because there's something attractive there. They can get their minds into it. Of course, they have to interpret it in their own way, but there's something attractive. Therefore, even the impersonalists take to hearing Bhagavatam or worshipping the deity. But their idea is that I'll do this for some time and then I'll go beyond all this. Probably called it time-serving devotional service. And I'll hear about God until I become God. Until I merge with God. But the devotee hears about God, and from the very beginning he's not thinking that I'll hear about God until I can toss this aside. He becomes attached to hearing and chanting in the spirit of devotional service. In the spirit of devotional service. And he becomes attached to Krishna's service and everything related to Krishna's service, and becomes more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and therefore automatically he becomes detached. By the positive process of attachment, he becomes detached. Of course, he has to give attention. It's not everything may automatically fall aside. So it requires some determination. It requires some, some determination. But it becomes easy business because he has the positive thing to be attracted to, the positive thing to aspire for. Raso Vajram Asokasya Param Drishtavani Vajram. Because he's seen the positive reality, becoming detached is possible. That instruction is given here by Lord Krishna. And therefore we're advised to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Let's see what sort of questions there might be.
Mm. Right. Maharaj, it seems actually it's my personal experience, like you said, when you start the process of focusing your mind on something positive, it is easier to become detached. Mm. It is easier to control the mind. Mm. But it's my personal experience, Maharaj, like whenever we increase our services or try to hear more or, you know, chant more, the mind gives the stronger fight. I mean, it looks like mind was not that strong before, but now we are in Krishna consciousness and we are...
In the beginning, you try to do more and the mind says no, less. But therefore, Rupa Goswami recommends determination, utsaha nishchad hariyat, enthusiasm, patience, determination. The mind will put up a fight. Wait, you're going to take something away from me. If one persists, then the mind says, all right, what can I do? Therefore, one has to get off the mental platform. The mind's business is to pull us to that platform. Well, maybe. Well, I don't know. Well, yes. Well, no. But one has to control the mind by the intelligence. And one has to control the intelligence by Krishna consciousness. Direct the intelligence by Krishna consciousness. Then, the mind becomes one's friend. Mind has to be controlled. That's the first thing. People don't, especially now in Kali Yuga, they don't even accept the basic premise that the mind should be controlled. The whole idea is like, control the mind, control the mind. Like, fine. They do things to agitate the mind. Deliberately. Kali Yuga is already agitating enough. But they deliberately seek out ways to agitate the mind by television, by novels, by videos, by so many things. How to agitate the mind deliberately for sense gratification. How to stimulate the mind. That's a one word of praise for a novel. Stimulating reading. Okay. Stimulating. That's their idea of enjoyment, is to stimulate the mind, stimulate the senses. Then the senses become, what's the word? Feverish. But that's now at least they're stimulated. So then, now putting out the fever becomes their engagement. They try to put out the fever by adding whatever got the fever started to begin with. We'll just add more. The fuel, the fire is burning. We put fuel in the fire. It got bigger. And now we're going to put it out by putting more fuel in. We'll try to douse the fire by petrol. So in Kali Yuga, they think that to stimulate the mind is very good, or agitate the mind. In philosophy also, they're trying to agitate the mind. Think of another explanation. That's a kind of subtle enjoyment, to think of newer and newer ideas. And the idea that the mind should be controlled is not a given anymore. It's even an idea that perhaps should be re-examined, that is challenged, that is opposed. And therefore their mind is their worst enemy. Especially in sex life, they're agitating their minds in different ways, to think of this and think of that, this way and that way, and so many things. And then their minds become more crazy. The mind becomes more agitated. And even there's schools of psychiatry that are saying now you don't try to repress any of these thoughts. Just, that's artificial. So they're encouraged. You just let your mind wander and to anything and everything and become more and more agitated. Now how will people be happy? Then the mind becomes more and more mad. One has to control the mind. But simply controlling, stop. But if the mind is engaged in hearing about Krishna, the mind becomes purified. And the mind becomes happy. The prasanna chetaso yashu buddhir pariyavadishtha. In the mode of passion, the mind will not be easy to deal with. One has to come to the mode of goodness. Tada rajast tamo bhava kamalo bhavyas triye chaitaitairanabhidham stitam sattve pasivati. When the mind comes to the sattva guna, then the mind becomes peaceful. The mind in passion, it becomes agitated. So, mode of goodness or transcendental to the mode of goodness is Krishna consciousness. Something else?
Maharaj, how free will and mind are related and are they different?
How are free will and the mind related? Whether to control the mind or let it be uncontrolled is up to you. Your free will.
So what exactly is this free will?
Choice. You have some little choice.
Which, what determines this free will?
Hmm?
What determines this free will?
I mean, if it's determined, then it's not free. Krishna has unlimited freedom. Abhigya swarat. And because we're part of Krishna, we have a little free will. Tiny free will.
And I wanted to ask the same question in a different way. What exactly, how do we distinguish between a free will and karma? Like certain things on the way when it is part of my karma, I'm getting.
Generally, my free will is invested in karma. I have the freedom to turn toward Krishna or away from Krishna, or toward Krishna or toward sense enjoyment. I've turned toward sense enjoyment. And then I express my so-called freedom in pursuing sense enjoyment. My freedom is to chase this one or to chase that one. To go after this enjoyment or go after that enjoyment. I think that's my freedom. Actually, it's prakate kriyamanani. It's dictated by the modes of material nature. But that's my freedom, you know. I'm making a statement of my freedom and individuality by wearing these jeans or that. You're buying this iPad or this whatever it is. I'm expressing my freedom. Even the some nephew of Sigmund Freud was engaged by the cigarette companies. They were missing out on 50% of their potential revenue because only men were smoking. Some decades back, only men were smoking. And so they were missing half the market. So what to do about that? So they engaged him. And he helped stage an event at which, at a certain signal, some prominent women in a public event all lit up their freedom torches. Smoking became a statement of individuality, of liberation. So the cigarette companies had it much easier now. They didn't just have to, they weren't selling cigarettes anymore, they were selling freedom. So people were expressing their free will, their freedom, by smoking and giving their money to the cigarette companies. So that's called Maya, that I think that I'm expressing my freedom, and it's just Maya's trick that I'm expressing my, I'm acting in obedience to her trap, really. Just, you know, like in sales, there's a question of whether you're going to buy it or not going to buy it. So they ask you, would you rather have the black one or the yellow one?
You have to buy something.
Yeah, it's not do you want it or not. Would you rather have the yellow one or the blue one? No, I don't want either one. But if you did want one, would you rather have the yellow one or the blue one? So you're given freedom, but the freedom is expressed in such a way that either way you choose, you're going with his proposal. So Maya sets things up like that. That, yes, you have all sorts of freedom. You, what is that Baskin-Robbins? 81 different... Is that how many they have? 81 different varieties?
Of ice cream.
Of ice cream. It's 81 different varieties, but whichever variety you choose, you're buying our product. The choice is not yes or no, the choice is which one. So Maya plays, she's the expert at that game. It's not a question of whether you want Krishna or Maya. What kind of Maya would you like? So you have all sorts of freedom. But we do have tiny free will. And that free will is expressed when we say, no, I don't think I'll take any of those varieties. Thank you very much. I'm not interested in Maya. I'm interested in Krishna. That much free will.
So in other words, we don't have really a free will majority of the time. And if at all, if we have something...
You have it all the time, but it's not what we think it is. We think that choosing between this Maya and that Maya is free will. But it's dictated by the modes of nature that we've acquired. Nistraguna Bhavarjuna, therefore Krishna told Arjuna, you get free from these modes of nature. Nirdvandva Nityasattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atma. Yeah, what we most of the time think of as freedom is not freedom.
So is it okay to say free will drives the mind?
Free will drives the mind. By misuse of the free will, we surrender to the mind. You've seen the picture, the horses are going wild, the driver has dropped the reins, and the passenger is in terror. That's the position. The free will has been surrendered. Maya, I'm yours. No one has to change that. Krishna, I'm yours.
It's another way. Forgive me if I'm asking the wrong question.
Your voice is soft, so you have to try speaking loud.
I'm asking a vague question. I don't know how to put it in proper words. Whenever we are a little alone, when there is no support from the guru or no support from the devotees, and we are put in a situation where we have to do something, how do we know we are doing the right thing or not being influenced by Maya or mind in the wrong way?
First thing, we have to see what is shastric. That's the first thing. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating. That's clear. And we should be trained. The Guru trains us, though this is Maya, and this is Krishna consciousness. We should have some clear idea. Generally we know. This is Maya, this is Krishna consciousness. So then we have to be strict with the mind. I was just reading, there was a little poster that was in 26 Second Avenue, in our early temples. Always be engaged. If you have no engagement, then chant or read scripture. If you're always engaged in Krishna's service, then you can't fall into Maya. Very practical instruction. If we're busy in Krishna's service, whether we're alone or we're not alone, if we're busy in Krishna's service, then the mind doesn't have opportunity. If we're sitting, we're alone, we're sitting around, we're doing nothing, then the mind says, well, you're not doing anything. Why not do this? Why not do that? Why not do this? Why not do that? What about this? What about that? But if you're busy, then the mind has no time for such games, because you're busy. Some salesman calls you, sorry, I'm busy. If you're not busy, then now you're susceptible. So Prabhupada said, the secret we learned from our Guru Maharaj, always to be busy. Prabhupada said that he's always busy in Krishna's service. We have enough to do. So we should make it our determination to be always busy in Krishna's service.
If we are not enlightened, then we are always going to make mistakes, like applying the free will.
Therefore, it's better to be associated with devotees. Strength in numbers. Therefore, the Nirjana Bhajan is not recommended to go off. They hear Sucho Deshe Pratishtapya Sthiram. Once you go off in a secluded place, but we're recommended just the opposite. Don't go to the secluded place. Dushtaman Tumi Kishar Vaishnav Pratishtara Kore Nirjana Bhajan. What is Pratishtara Kore? Nirjanara Bhajan. Tava Hari Nam Kevala Koita. My dear mind, what kind of nonsense Vaishnava are you? Dushta mind, you rascal mind. Tumi Kishir Vaishnava. You're pretending to be a Vaishnav. You're going to go off to a secluded place like Rupa Goswami or Haridas Thakur, and you're going to be a great Vaishnav. Pratishtarakara. Going to a sacred, to a secluded place is just for reputation. Oh, he's gone off to a secluded place. He's chanting so many rounds a day. He's such an advanced Vaishnava. Pratishtarakara. You're going off like that just for the sake of false prestige. So Tava Harinam Kevala Kaita. Your chanting is just cheating. You're making a show. So Srila Prabhupada didn't recommend that we go off to Vrindavan or here or there, Radhakund, and make a show of Harinam, Harinam. But to be always engaged in service of Krishna and the spiritual master. Not be tricked.
Maharaj, sometimes I wonder about his statement by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur about mind. He said, we should beat the mind before going to bed, and after rising up, we should every day beat up the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I wonder what exactly that means, because we can't artificially suppress the mind.
He explained it. With the shoe and the broomstick.
Yeah, shoe or broomstick.
Shoe or broomstick.
It means that mind should not be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
That it's rubbish should not be entertained. We should know. Even nonsense mind. If you're not chanting Hare Krishna, thinking of Krishna, engaging in the service of Krishna, then you're a nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Whack! We shouldn't be. People are. They identify with their minds. We hear these days, people want to get in touch with their feelings. Right? It means they want to explore. You know, where is my mind? You know, what? How should I say it? They want to go deep within themselves and find out how they feel. They want to get in touch with their inner child. They want to get in touch with their feelings. They want to explore this and that, this and that. It means basically they want to see where their mind takes them. Oh mind, I'm yours. Take me wherever you want me to go. Because they think that this is me. What I find on the emotional platform, they identify with their emotions. If I feel, but I don't feel that. Why didn't you do it? Well, I didn't feel like it. Why did you do it? I just felt. It's all about how you feel. I felt this, I felt that, I felt I should, I felt I shouldn't. I wanted to. Why did you do that? Well, I wanted to. As if my own, if it's, you know, like, because it was produced of me, it's sacred. It came from my mind. The rubbish that comes out of people's mind, because it came out of their mind, they think this is somehow themselves. You get these paintings that are all rubbish, and it's people, you know, expressing themselves, expressing their mind. You look at it, you see what their mind is. So they sort of cherish the mental concoctions, their own mental concoctions, their own unbridled feelings. Veda culture is not like that. Veda culture says if you don't control the mind, it's your own worst enemy. It will come up with all sorts of rubbish. That's not. And in any case, whatever it comes up with, good or bad, that's not you. You're not this mind. We don't identify with either the gross body or the subtle. One has to come to his real identity as a servant of Krishna. Is that okay? Something else? Hmm?
Patience. How do we develop patience?
Patience? Patiently. By sticking with it.
You should have developed patience by now. Did
you raise
the kids?
By raising kids?
Yeah, he's just telling that if you have kids, you already have patience because you already gone through so much exercise with them. So if you by now have all these things so in your hands also, he's just building it now.
Yeah. Best thing is to have patience in such a way that you don't have kids.
Yeah.
Then if you do have kids, you'll learn the hard way.
Yes. I have a question. Especially, I heard this one many times before. Heart. People say that those who have the heart, they will win at the end.
Hmm?
Especially
those who have the heart,
they will win at the end. I mean, basically, in sports or anything, they say that you know you have to play with your heart, not with your mind, with your abilities. Like you know, how exactly the heart is really plays a part into us. Like some people say that. You have to listen to the heart, not to the mind or something like that. Is how we have to say, when I say I felt not through the mind, through my heart. Does it make any sense or is it that is another concoction or mind is giving something like that?
Mind and heart, they're very close. Practically, heart and mind are synonymous. You can say the heart is the mind in another dress. Therefore, the word citta, sometimes described, sometimes it's, we use this different words, one's mind, one's heart. Someone says, I set my mind on it. Someone says, I set my heart on it. It's the same thing. When there's more feeling, you say the heart. But it's the same subtle body that's involved.
What they mean to say is might be the heart and the intelligence. They think intelligence is mind, I think.
Maybe. When the emotions are more pulled in, then we say heart.
That is true. Because if we see any athletes or players or something, you can really see the difference actually. Those who play with the mind, those who play with the heart. You know, it is, maybe you are right, it may be in a different dress, but we can clearly see the dress.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
So,
when your emotions are called into play, then we say the heart.
In other words, maybe you know, the coaches who says that, like, you know, that is how exactly, like, you know, a player is made up of. So say, the greatest players are made up of something like that, you know, quote unquote.
Whatever. Either way, they've given their heart or their mind to something which is has no real existence. Asakraha, something which has no reality. To that, they've dedicated heart and soul, we say. Another way of saying heart is soul. I put my soul into it.
Yes. Yes. Maybe that is the right word to say.
Right?
Yeah.
Therefore, the expression is there, heart and soul.
Correct.
It means I've dedicated myself to winning the championship or getting that little white ball into a little hole or solving some mathematical equation or programming some machine or whatever else it is. Heart and soul. In Bhagavad Gita, what is that? Maya Pratigyana, those whose intelligence is stolen by illusion. So their heart, their soul, their everything is dedicated to Maya. To winning the championship, to producing the best film, to whatever it might be. What is Maya? They've dedicated heart and soul to Maya. And that's a mistake. Something else?
Sometimes we see the surrender to Krishna is very difficult.
Mm. Not surrendering to Krishna is still more difficult. Surrender to Krishna is difficult, but not surrendering places me in greater difficulty. No, better to undergo the little difficulty than the big difficulty.
If the people do not actually go through much difficult times, they do not.
There's no one who doesn't go through difficult times. They can pretend. But everyone goes through difficult times. Or if they think that, no, I have no difficulty, then they're under avaranatmika shakti, the covering potency of Maya. No, everything's all right. They're under Maya's spell, thinking, no, everything's all right. I'm about to get clobbered by a hammer, and I'm thinking, everything's all right. They're in worse trouble. The person who's thinking, oh, now I'm in trouble. He's in better shape. At least he sees that he's where he is. The person is saying, I don't have a care in the world. Everything's fine. He's really deep in it.
Yeah, but on the other hand, in the management world, practical world, people say that it's called one of the greatest qualities, like being cool in nature and, cool in nature, basically not panic and, take the situations into control. And
so that's different. Being cool and being stupid are two different things. Person who's cool, you know, I realize that I'm surrounded by enemy agents, but I'm cool. That's one thing. And I'm totally oblivious. I have no clue that I'm surrounded by enemy agents, and therefore I don't have a care in the world. That's stupid. They're two different things. Both of them are showing lack of panic. One is free from panic because he's self-controlled. The other is free from panic because he's clueless. There's a difference. Krishna conscious person knows the danger of this material world, but he's not in a panic attack. All right, and so I have to surrender to Krishna, I have to be engaged in Krishna's service, I have to chant Hare Krishna. He knows the problem, and he knows what to do about the problem, and he does it, so he's cool. The person who doesn't realize he has a problem, he's not cool.
That's a good answer. Thank you. That's a very good answer.
Something else? Tired? Should we stop here?
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.